When my mom got sick, she felt powerless. Insurance denied her meds. Her doctors talked over her, and they couldn't agree on anything. She kept getting worse.
And then you found Solace for me. They gave me my own healthcare advocate. My advocate found better doctors, scheduled my appointments, and got my medications approved. She even joined my appointments and made my doctors work together. For the first time, my whole care team was listening to each other and to me.
I was going to pay for it.
But then we learned that Solace advocates are covered by Medicare.
I used to feel helpless, too. Now I know my mom has an advocate.
Solace advocates are healthcare experts who've spent years helping patients. 96% of patients report better care with an advocate. That means better health outcomes, less stress, and finally feeling heard. Have Medicare? See if you qualify at solacehealth.com. Or call 888-7-SOLACE. 888-7-S-O-L-A-C-E. That's 888-7-SOLACE.
Don't face the healthcare system alone. Find Solace. Visit solacehealth.com today.
Everybody, welcome to WHM Mailbag. My name is Andrew Jupin, and I'm alongside three other hat-wearing individuals. We have Stephen Sadak.
Can I say that I started off not wearing a hat, and I was pressured to because three out of four of you were? Yeah, hi.
Yep.
There it is.
You bullied right into it. Because you wanted to show off your long hair is what's going on. But
long, luxurious hair.
Silky smooth. Speaking of silky smooth, we have Eric Siska.
Man, that jazzy intro song made me just want to put out a cigarette right now.
Totally. Right on your thigh, dude.
Yeah.
And Mr. Chris Cabin.
Steve, we would not do it if you didn't fold so gracefully. it's the beauty in it is really what it is. Hi, everybody. How's everybody doing there?
What is going on in the chat? We have Nathan Foley. Demon Sign, that went by too fast. Aaron 6644, maybe Lemon Strike 20. Does Andrew need glasses? EB419. One million
title.
Naps. I've taken one of those. Sucked. They're sucked. Haven't seen Sucked in a while.
Well, welcome back, Sucked. This is
Sucked.
A new episode of the Hat Boys.
This is WHM Mailbag. We haven't done this in a while, but we like to break it out when we have like things to plug, and we want to make sure people are getting the word out. And of course, we are going to be in Los Angeles next Sunday. Not this Sunday, but next Sunday. The 22nd, which is crazy. We're back at the Hollywood Improv. And look at the great Felipe art here. Kaboom. Talking Broken Arrow. Travolta, probably, this was like the Travolta. He's got the same haircut in this movie and Phenomenon, I think.
Yes. Ooh. This was like a post Tarantino bump. Like, I could be in movies, Mark. And like, it was just riding that out for a little while.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Not the flowing locks of Michael. Michael is where you get those nice locks, but this is more military.
Was he actually an angel in that movie?
He was absolutely an angel in the movie.
Okay.
He was the Archangel Michael.
In real life, according to me, too. What a sweetheart.
Archangel Michael?
The Archangel? Michael the Archangel.
Oh, I didn't know Michael was an archangel. I thought there was just Gabriel.
I believe Michael's an archangel. Now I got to go look up angels. You keep going.
Chad, Sucked. Do you know about the angels?
Sucked. What do you know about angels?
Yeah, Michael, AI overview from Google.
Oh.
Fuck this.
Oh, but good.
There it is. Michael the angel is the archangel is revered as the supreme leader of heaven's armies. God damn
Holy
it.
Holy shit.
Wow.
That's like a general of some sort.
Yeah, a little general. but we're going to be there. By the way, tickets are all on our website, whmpodcast.com. Click on that tour page. But yeah, we love the Hollywood Improv, man. Great staff there. Great freaking room. That's going to be a lot of fun.
You got to go.
Always a great time.
If you're in the California area, you have to go to it.
Yes. Sorry.
Yes,
and that's it. You know, there's not San Francisco. There's not San Diego this year. You got, come on, folks.
Yeah.
Folks, I'm traveling. arduous journey. I got to get on the I got to get on horseback tomorrow to start.
Wow,
I got a fear of flying. I'm not flying anymore. I'm taking horse.
Yeah, that's what John Goodman did. John Madden. He took a horse.
John
Madden.
Yes,
he's scared
the horse would have to put down.
How many dead horses do you think that is from here to Los Angeles?
Oh, if you're going the whole way, a few, and then
at least the first season of Luck.
I'll be on horseback and on horse, you know, heroin. So I won't know.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. That's tough trip. Awesome. So we got some letters here that we're going to read. Chris Cabin, you are the mail master here, and you know who should be reading what. So who's going to kick us off, my friend?
I'm actually going to do the first one.
I love it.
I'm going to do this one. Okay. Okay. So this is Family Fun Lake Trip. Hey, guys. Been listening for a couple years now. Huge fan. And still working through all of the WHM episodes. I recently had the pleasure of listening to Blame It on Rio, episode 147, for the first time. Hands down, one of the funniest episodes I've ever heard so far. Oof. Dear God, what a trash movie. I agree. Real terrible stamp from Mr. Stanley Donen. Anyway,
that's right.
I want to write into, yes, it's disgusting, right to the mailbag with a story that took place about 4 to 5 years ago. Not sure if this is funny, weird, humiliating, or sad. But I thought I'd share, nonetheless. Okay. My grandmother had recently passed and was cremated. Her ashes were to be scattered at a lake near Saranac Lake, New York. That was meaningful to her and the family. We all live in the Schenectady, Albany region, regions of New York. Hey, shout out. Her daughter.
Anyone ever have that Saranac beer?
Saranac?
Cool. Yes.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Solid brewery.
I feel like it was good before I knew that there was other beer. I liked it for a long time, but...
Okay.
You're probably not liking his grandma's ashes in there, so there's just a little hint of it.
Granny ash stout, please?
Just on the top. It's like
tastes like Doris.
Her daughter, my aunt, had passed away 2 decades prior to this and had also been cremated. Her ashes took up residence on my dad's dresser for many years until the time came to scatter grandma's ashes, and it was decided they would go together.
Ooh, two birds with one stone, huh?
I guess so. I mean, cut to me and the rest of the family driving to and meeting in Saranac Lake, then caravan to the final resting place of my grandma and aunt. However, it was the middle of the goddamn summer in Saranac Lake on a fucking Saturday, so the place was mobbed. Like, couldn't find parking in the lake's parking lot field, kind of mobbed. Luckily, there are over 140 bodies of water in the Saranac Lake's wild forest region, so we popped over to a different lake. Meaningful
I mean, you don't want to, like, you're scattering your ashes on people going swimming or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, have like a boat go by and like the gas trails get in it and whatever.
No, it's just a new fad. This is ashing, you know. It's just fun. Just on the beach, you know, it's normal. This one was much less crowded, and we found an ideal spot away from most people, save for a lone fisherman nearby.
Better not catch any of the ashes you're throwing in there. I don't want to catch any of your ashes now.
You got to imagine, a lot of fish are eating these ashes, these pieces, whatever comes out. A lot of fish have to be getting these things.
So then someone catches that fish, eats the fish, consumes grandma.
And then what happens then? When they have a child, that child is now grandma's soul?
A fish comes out.
Oh, a fish comes out of the person?
Wow. I think so.
Holy
crow. Fish person.
That'd be a lot easier to pass than a whole baby, I'd wait.
I don't think you call it passing, but I understand what you're saying.
Maybe it'd be like a whole school would come out of you then. That'd be
okay. I see it.
That's horror.
Maybe. Like a dozen? Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
We then set to opening the urns. Grandma's popped right open, no problem. And she was somewhat unceremoniously dumped into the lake.
That means someone almost dropped it and it tipped over.
Well, I mean, it's just you got to figure that out. You need a little something, you know, a poem or a quote, even like, you know, you want to quote Star Trek, The Wrath of Khan. That's cool, too.
Whatever.
You
know what I mean? Yeah, sure.
Whatever she liked.
Right.
Well, I think that's the idea that we'll see. I think they think about that too late, Stephen, actually.
In all the souls I met in my life, grandma's was the most human.
Well, she loved Kevin Smith and Clerks, so 37. My grandmother sucked 37 dicks.
Did you actually get that number?
Mm-hmm. Well, we're pretty soon that is a Grampy movie at this point, right?
It is, yeah. It is. You'll all be count. Making fun of us for liking
Spoiler
it.
Alert, you're lowballing me.
There was a breeze that day, but luckily it carried Grandma out to sea instead of dusting her into our lungs. Thank God for that.
That's good, yeah.
Then came Auntie. Now, I'm sure what the cremation people used to I'm not sure what the cremation people used to secure the top of her urn, but that thing was stuck, and it should have been a clue that all of this was about to get awkward.
Oh, my God.
After a lot of
fog. You need you got to get a champagne saber to, like, cut the top.
Oh, that's the move. Yeah.
Yep.
But are these glass, though? I don't know if that
well,
I mean,
it would work
metal going if through
sword
it.
Sword works against thing. Wood and other things.
Sure.
Like a quick rehearsal, like, you know, the night before, just check the ashes. You don't need to pop it off. And then, you know, that it's all kind of loose. You know
take
what I mean?
Take a whiff.
Yeah, take a whiff. Yeah, leave a little in the motel.
Just, smells just like grandma.
Get a little like oil around the rim, maybe just to loosen it the tit. Yeah.
Bang it against the side of a counter, run it under hot water, you know,
because you don't want this to happen. Exactly. So here we go.
You don't want to have the dinner knife in there propping up, trying to get the air in. After a lot of jimmying, cursing, and amateur safe-cracking techniques, someone eventually pried the top off, and we were back on track. My dad turned the urn upside down, and instead of the fine dust we expected, only a few rogue chunks fell out. Ew.
Chunks?
Did a cat piss in it?
That's not good.
Chunks.
The rest of Auntie was stuck in the thing.
Oh,
and would not
like
be tapped
to the
out.
Side, you get a, like down in the cake batter.
Get a stick.
Yeah.
There's a rim, I think, down there.
Stir it around.
Think,
yeah.
Probably.
Mm-hmm. Oh, is this because this was because they said the aunt had passed 20 years. Oh man, it's like expired ashes.
Because I think you're supposed to only there is a time to do it, and then there's like you probably shouldn't do it after that. I'll look that up now.
Do you think they should fucking put like a dump by date on here?
Is that like humidity and moisture or something after the years makes it like
probably right?
I mean, it's staying at the same place, so it also could just be naturally like compacting itself there.
Grandma, grandma was on the dresser, but we left old auntie out on the deck, and she got rain and snowed on.
Oh no! My dad, the rest of auntie was stuck in the thing; it would not be tapped out. We all cast about for some kind of poking device or large pick to release the remains, but had no luck. Someone remembered they had a screwdriver in the car.
Oh,
but
dude.
Before
nice.
They could go run to get it, another person remembered the fisherman. Surely an Adirondack outdoorsman like that would have something we could borrow. And he did. We borrowed that poor man's knife, used it to chip Auntie out of the urn.
He had a big fisherman's hook because he was out there. Somebody had done something last summer that he was taking care of. I forget
what it was.
He just got in there and screwed. He's a nice guy unless he knows what you did last summer. Other than
are you from
perfectly nice.
Are you from around here? Did you know my daughter by any chance? Sally? Used to chip. I can't get over chip Auntie out of the
urn. That's a really good word.
Released her unto the waters, gave the knife a quick rinse, returned it to him. At that point, the water near the shore is fucking gray from all the burnt human remains that have been dumped into the water. I'll be honest, it was stomach churning.
I bet.
This feeling only increased when another family member waded into the gray water, knelt over, and swished it around with her hands.
No.
To be clear, I'm not close with that side of the family.
Yeah, because they're the ash bathers.
Uh-huh. I guess she was trying to, like, get out of here, ashes. Go into the sea.
Go out of here, ashes. We don't want you anymore.
Now, here's your cue here, Stephen. This bitch then started singing the old African-American spiritual Swing Low, Sweet Chariot, and reluctantly, a few other family members, not me, joined in. We are black, so at least there's that.
I kind of was putting this two and two together there. Yes. Yeah.
I love though. I love the we are black, so at least there's that question mark she puts in the sentence. It's
like, maybe that excuses it. I don't know.
This is amazing.
Anyways, this was mercifully the end of the event. Most of the day felt like a harrowing out-of-body experience. I often wonder what that poor fisherman thought while watching us, if that knife was rinsed thoroughly enough, and if he kept fishing as the human ash water disintegrated into the rest of the lake. Absolutely love you guys and your shows. Keep up the good work, Whitney.
Oh,
thank you, Whitney.
That's a hell of a story, Whitney.
I think, sorry for your losses.
Any kind of human remains is going to be good for a lake or a body of water. You know, you need to fertilize it.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
I think the coolest, I mean, it's, I don't think I want to be buried. I do think I'd rather be cremated, but then what are you doing with the ashes? And like this doesn't sound great. You know what I mean?
Well, like, see, that's the thing is, like, you know, you were saying, Steve, you need like a plan. And I feel like it should be incumbent on the person doing the passing to be like, listen, after I'm cooked up and you put me in that urn, I don't want to be sitting on my son's dresser. Like, you have to do this and that. You know, I want to toss him out at Yankee Stadium, like whatever it's going to be. But like, you got to have a plan in place, because otherwise you just wind up as fucking furniture for 20 years.
So, Steve, what are you going to do? Scattered in a comic book store or something? Because I'll do that. I'll ruin the secret stash for you.
Thank you. Please do.
I'll run there and throw your body around.
Throw him in Walt Flanagan's face. We just did our Clerks episode last night. All of this is very
It's all in our minds.
Yes. Eric just goes up to him and he's like, yes, I would like to buy that compendium of Kevin Smith's run on Daredevil.
this was your biggest fan.
Actually, let it be said, though, Steven, I really hope Walt Flanagan passes before you.
Yeah, that's here's hoping. I will say, Mark, another comic book writer, really cool one, cool idea with ashes. Mark Gruenwald wrote something called The Squadron Supreme. It was like a proto Watchmen thing. He loved it so much. He was like, when I die, the next printing, mix my ashes into the ink.
Ooh,
and then I'm part of the book forever, which is that's really cool.
There a way we can get our ashes into the podcast app.
That's what I'm thinking.
Downloaded onto people's phones.
An RSS feed somewhere.
I feel like, you know, maybe we get that technology like 40 years from now. So by the time we're sort of teeing up to check out, maybe we got something going there. Or we'll be all like Tron'd by that point, probably, right?
Oh, yeah, or just put it behind the Taco Bell that killed me. You know what I mean? Just right in the garbage right there.
He would have loved this.
You think it's the most local one, but it's not. It's actually the one in Times Square.
Oh, no, thank you. Oh, man, amazing letter, Whitney.
Thank you. Who's up next, Christopher Cabin?
Our boys. Okay, that's going to go to Andrew. Andrew's going to do this.
Okay.
See the old iPad here. Our boys. Hey, boys. I just heard the mail call in your last episode and had to give you guys an all-timer embarrassing story. Now we're talking.
Love this already.
The year was 2015. I was recently 21 and serving in the Marines out at Camp Lejeune, North Carolina. A group from our platoon was traveling to Myrtle Beach to perform in the ceremony portion of a Marine Corps birthday ball.
Wasn't Camp Lejeune the one that had all those issues with the
if you were stationed at Camp Lejeune between this time and this time, you have ass cancer or whatever.
I think it was like the toxic water or something. Maybe grandma got into the water supply.
Too many grandmas.
The ceremony went off without a hitch, and being functional alcoholics, we had to go get blackout drunk on our per diem to celebrate a job well done.
Of course.
Our first stop of the night, which set the tone for everything to follow, was Jimmy Buffett's Margaritaville.
Oh, boy.
No.
One and done for this crew.
Yes, that was a mistake I made.
I ate French fries so bad at that restaurant, it almost made me consider giving up French fries for the rest of my life.
And to be fair,
were they warm at least?
No.
Pretty
ice cold, yeah.
This was the Times Square location, perhaps. Yeah. In North Carolina, maybe it's good. Let's see where the story goes.
Yeah, well, we'll find out. I ordered a bucket of Dogfish Head 90-minute IPAs for myself and my friend, and my friends followed suit, ordering 5 buckets of beer. Yes. 90-minute IPAs, everybody.
The bucket's a tough one. Mm. You know, you really want to go If you and the boys are having a good one, some Miller Lights in a bucket, sure. You know what I mean?
It's got to be low ABV, like you're drinking beer water, you know, with some Coronis. I've tackled a bucket of Coronis in my day.
But this year out with a bucket for the table, guys.
Yes. Yeah. That's true.
But that's, I you don't know,
what,
even know where.
What are you guys going to have?
It gets, oh my God, it gets so much worse. So ordering five buckets of beer, Long Island iced teas.
Yes.
And drinks that came in big fish bowls.
Yes, absolutely. That's what I'm doing right after this.
Can you get big fishbowl drinks in a bucket? Can you have the fish bowls in a bucket? Or
it's got to be like a bathtub or a kiddie pool. I think.
Yeah. But, hey, oh, wow. That would be a good one.
Bathtub? That'd be bathtub.
A bathtub
punk.
For the table, please.
Eric, there was that. We went to that party at South By, and that bar had all like.
Yes.
Fishbowl drinks. Stuff. Yeah.
Yes. That was the friendship premiere party or whatever.
Oh, there you go. That's fun. Nice. Let's see. Okay. We shared appetizers and left as soon as we could because every 5 to 10 minutes, the 10-foot blender in the restaurant would rumble and a giant tequila bottle would come down from a faux funnel cloud and pour liquor into the blender as a chorus of angels sing over the speakers.
This sounds amazing. This is better than the Times Square one.
It's definitely better than the Times Square.
Yeah, we didn't have any of these theatrics. We just had like 9 birthday parties going on at the same time.
Mm-hmm. There was no beach where you guys were. It was far away from the damn beach.
Yeah, this is Myrtle Beach. One of the worst places on earth. I can say that. I vacationed there for like 12 years.
Yes. I've never been, so I have no idea. Yeah.
I will say, cool thing about that place, a lot of good, cool, very, very elaborate mini golf courses.
All right.
Oh,
there better be.
Very nice.
I got to do something there, dude.
Exactly.
All right. We drank our way through various Myrtle Beach bars doing Jello shots that came in big syringes, Jaeger bombs, and downing any beer that came our way.
Well, this is the problem with all kinds of binge drinking. Anytime it's funny to do it, you're going to get into trouble.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, oh, that sounds hilarious. It should be like, do I want this? Do I like this liquor? Is this something that I will enjoy as opposed to, well, that'll make a great story.
Wouldn't it be so funny if we all ordered X? That's exactly. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. That's something that comes with age, I think.
Oh, yeah, you learn that.
You still got to be building those stories for a while, and then you
exactly.
can be an adult.
You got to be young and making mistakes like this first.
Ugh.
Somehow we ended up in a terrible dueling piano bar.
Oof. Daffy Duck was on one, and Donald Duck was on the other. This ape let us in.
What do you mean Jessica Rabbit isn't here tonight? What do you mean? I'm getting out of here. Fuck this place.
A man was murdered in the secret back room. When the pianists got a request for a song they didn't know, which happened multiple times while I was there, they'd crack a joke and go into Billy Joel's Piano Man.
Wow, that's fun.
Oh, no. It's
probably an easy way to ruin that song for everybody, too.
I was going to say, that's a lot of Piano Man.
Then you're saying, how did I get here? Not what are you doing here? How did I get here?
I stepped away from my friends and walked to the bar to order another beer. The next thing I remember, I was talking with a very attractive woman.
Hello.
Yeah, all right. We got to talking and drinking, and she offered to buy me a shot of Wild Turkey.
Jesus Lord.
This is... I'm feeling hungover just reading this.
Mm-hmm.
We clinked our glasses. I tilted my head back, threw the shot back, attempted to swallow, and launched my head forward, unloading a night's worth of alcohol and Margaritaville appetizers all over the bar.
Yes. I knew we'd get a vomit. This is awesome. Yes. I love vomit.
This rocks. Also, so thank you for your service.
Yes.
Your drinking service, really.
I was so drunk that the magnitude of this situation didn't dawn on me. I turned to this woman, held up one finger and said, "One moment, please." And walked straight to the bathroom to clean myself up.
Classy.
Yeah, sure.
Classy dude. I like that move.
Fucking rules.
Good job.
Much to my drunk shock, when I left the bathroom, the woman was long gone.
Weird.
What?
My buddy ran up to me. "Dude, we better get going. The bartender's really pissed. I think he's going to call the cops."
For what?
Why would he be angry? What's going on? Come on now.
I mean, if you vomited on a table at Margaritaville, people would be like, "Order up, someone serves their food.
Yeah.
Take it out.
Get in the bowl."
I paid my tab, tip included, and was rushed outside. At this point, I blacked out and don't remember how I got home. The only thing I remember from the rest of the night is walking by a Red Lobster and saying, man, I could crush some Cheddar Bay biscuits.
Ain't it the truth? Ain't it the truth at the time?
I could do that right now, as a matter of fact. I woke up the next morning in my hotel room, sitting in an armchair wearing only my underwear. Mm-hmm. It was years before I could drink Wild Turkey again. Have any of you guys ever ruined your chances with a woman in a spectacular fashion, or is it just me? Drunkenly yours, Derek from Chicago.
Well, thank you, Derek. My God, I don't think it was the Wild Turkey exactly. I don't think
no.
that was the one thing that did
it. No, don't blame Many don't decisions. Blame the bourbon. Yeah.
Compounded.
I have definitely done the thing where you take a shot, and I never did it at the bar, but the second you take the shot, you're like, oh, I'm going to vomit. And then like the quick beeline to the bathroom, because that's the danger with a shot, is you're like, I think I got this.
Yep.
Oh, no, I don't got this kind of a thing.
That was like, Steve, I believe it was our second year at Purchase. We were doing a power hour. Do you remember this? Mm-hmm. We ran out of like the light beer and we were using like Red Dog or whatever, Red Irish Ale or whatever. And we were down to the last minute, and I was like, I know I'm going to vomit.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And I took the shot glass of the beer. I went in the bathroom we had in the ensuite there. So, you know, 3, 2, 1, last shot. Pounded it, swallowed, immediately vomited into the toilet. It was perfection.
I'm going to tell you, if you are drinking Red Dog, that should just be in the plan. That should just, even if you get one tall boy of Red Dog, still, that should be, you know what? There's going to be a vomit at some point.
Oh man, that's absolutely brutal.
I mean I'm sure I have. I don't remember the occurrence.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sure I have done this. I have definitely fucked up. Like, I probably was talking to someone and then the drink happened and I was like, you know what? I'm gonna get myself closer to a bathroom just so I know what's going on.
Anybody, are you guys off anything that like you got sick off of and you can't drink again?
Well, I think the last time I've ever like truly blacked out was 14 years ago now, or no, 12, no, 11 years ago. We were out for a birthday party and somebody ordered Long Island iced teas. That's a funny idea.
Yep.
I had two of those and I literally don't remember anything else of the night. And I'm like, that's a never again scenario. That's just in the. That's not going to happen. We're not doing that one.
Once I went to this party and they were doing like beer pong, right? But then they ran out of beer. Let's do it with Southern Comfort.
Oh, no.
Smart moves.
I woke up on my buddy's floor like 70 miles from where I was with my pants off. And I had no idea what happened that night.
70 miles is very impressive, dude. Mm-hmm.
Well, we were supposed to go back there later that night, and we did. We ended up there. So
good.
That's amazing.
No, I really did get tired of the like the bottom falling out of your gut when you realize you don't remember anything.
Yep.
That was really. I just couldn't wake up like that ever again.
Which one of them's is dead? You know?
Yeah, I don't want to know. And then if you dare look at the phone and whatever you texted to whoever,
exactly.
You just don't want to know what it is. So I don't do any hard liquor anymore. I'm mostly just beer and wine these days, if I have any. But I try to keep light on those as well.
Yeah, I try to keep heavy on all of it.
Yeah. But the shots are a bit, you know, that's a little really tough.
Shots I can't do. Like, I still drink liquor.
I talk to you and I'm like, okay, sure, like a fucking idiot.
Well, Steve, you and I were just out at a dinner with some friends on Saturday night, and we were at a bar, and the dude was like, here you go, as I was cashing out. Gives me a shot of Jameson. I was like, Steve, you want this?
I made it go away. It was okay. Give it a good home.
Yeah, no, I knew you would. Speaking of none of that, I don't think we'll be doing any binge drinking on the road. But next month, we are going to be making our debut in the resilient city of Minneapolis, which I'm very excited about. We're there to talk about the 1982 Conan the Barbarian, the Arnold Schwarzenegger one, not the the remake with, was Momoa in the remake? Is that who it was? I don't remember. Somebody remade that
check.
Movie.
Something was in there.
I think that's him.
But this is really cool. We've never been to Minneapolis.
Yes, Momoa.
We are excited to get in there and entertain the masses. And we're at the Varsity Theater, which is very cool. I've looked it up. Gorgeous looking venue. Very excited about that.
Super stoked.
Yeah. I would love to see you guys out there. Like, also, like, if you're constantly saying, like, come to my small town in Michigan or this place or that place. If you're in the Midwest, we got two dates for you. Come on out.
Whatever's closest or both.
Yes.
Or both.
Or both. Whatever floats your boat.
Eric got a master's in barbarianism for this.
I did. You know,
he doesn't talk about it. He's a humble man, but really he tried to get as prepared for this show as possible. Thank you, Chris. Movie. I mean, I love this movie too, but
I now know how to club a woman for a while. Right? I can club a woman now because of the barbarian training, and then I also eat raw meat now.
Mm. Oh, yes, really? Yes. Are you listening to Jordan Peterson or anything
that? Fully. I'm fully in the manosphere now.
Speaking of the manosphere, Chris Cavan, who's got this next one?
Steve, why don't you take this one?
This is Frank Duke Selects, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, cool. So Frank Dukes, in case anyone remembers, that's from a Bloodsport episode. That's the guy that is quote-unquote Bloodsport, but also was a huge liar. So, hey guys, my name is James and I live in Santa Fe, New Mexico. Been a fan of yours for years, and I am excited to finally tell you my Frank Duke story.
Oh, nice. We're finally telling someone his Frank Duke story.
Years ago, after the turn of the last century.
Oh, come on, man.
What are you, a vampire, or was that fucking 20 years ago? I was a young man working in Hollywood. They had just made talkies, you understand. I was working at a Hollywood video in Albuquerque, a location famous for a triple homicide. That's a story for a different podcast.
Oh, shit. You know what? Send that in. We're pivoting to true crime. We're going to be laughing about murders and stuff. So please send that in, because a murder, triple homicide at a video store, I want to know about.
Sounds really funny. There's plenty of stuff there. Yeah. How did the body layout? Was it like this?
Or were you watching the movie Maxine is the question. Frank Dukes came in to rent some videos regularly. Every time he came in, we had the exact same interaction. He would tell me exactly who he was and why he was famous.
God damn it.
Then he would ask me to take him through the store to help him choose his movies. That's crazy. Anytime he noticed a JCVD movie, he'd tell me what a piece of shit JCVD was.
Ooh.
And would go on and on about how he still owed him $1 million.
Oh, $1 million? What?
Okay. Yeah.
Great. He made you famous, first of all.
Exactly.
JCVD made you famous. I'm sure he's an asshole, but he made you famous.
I'm sure it's a story rights situation.
Yeah.
Like, promised whatever. For a little extra more. Yeah.
When we walked past DVDs of the show Reba, he would tell me how nice Reba was and how she gave his wife free albums. That's so nice.
Whoa. Okay. Wait, why Reba should have been in Bloodsport 2 or 3?
Hey, y'all, we're going to the Kumite.
Well, it's a Bloodsport tonight.
I'm going to break your shin. About halfway through our walk, he would pull out an old Polaroid of him and a very sick-looking Elvis and tell me this was taken the day before Elvis died.
Yep, sure.
He would then pay for his rentals and leave. He was very polite. He was always very polite with the staff. He never recognized me, though, and I had that experience with him at least 5 times with the Polaroid, Reba, and everything.
Oh,
that is Jimmy. That's a sad old man story. Is what that is.
Oh, that's incredible.
Frank Dukes. Frank sucks, more like it. Holy shit.
Maybe after all his courageous battles over the years and all the heroics and everything, he's got like facial blindness, so he doesn't recognize who he's talking to.
Because he's killed so many people for the CIA, you understand.
Yes.
Everybody.
And all those orphans he rescued, you know.
Mm-hmm. Oh, of course.
Good what man. Did he That's say? Amazing. He sold a sword to save orphans. What was that story?
Yeah, the sword that he won at the Kumite, he doesn't have anymore, you understand?
Right.
Because he unfortunately had to sell that to save a boatload of orphans from somewhere or something.
Do we talk about that on our Bloodsport episode?
I do believe we do.
That's available on patreon.com/wehatemovies right now.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Oh, man. That's pretty great.
That's pretty awesome.
I'm sure he got a boatload of something for that sword. I don't think it was children. I think it was a substance of some sort.
Trying to think of anything. Yeah. So I used to work at a, I think I've told the story before, maybe not. like the idea of old men just kind of talking to you when you're working
sure.
is something that I'm quite familiar with. I used to work at a a health. It was kind of a it was a beach club over the summer. Not unlike a young what? Brandon Walsh. Ooh, we look exactly the same.
Really? Where was this Orchard Beach?
No, thankfully, it was New York Athletic Club in Pelham, New York.
Okay, all right, that's a little nice, little
rich boy over here.
Well, no, he was working there, so he was attending to the little rich boys.
That's right, exactly. That's right. I was wiping their asses.
Ooh,
there was an old guy that would come in, and the way the lockers worked was you had to go and basically like put the lock on for them. I believe was the idea. Like, you always have to go in and give them the combination lock, or key, or whatever the fuck it was. And I remember everyone else, like 99% of dudes that I would do this for, there were girl staff members for the ladies that I would do this for. You'd walk them there. Oh, locker five, here you go, buddy. And then you'd walk out. This guy, the second he got into the locker room, just started getting naked immediately.
Nice.
And I mean immediately.
Holy full shit.
Cock and balls out.
What?
And then.
What are we talking about here? Like old man shit?
He's an old man. He's a limp old man.
Well, sometimes that can be a surprise. Like, wow, that's still going. There's like Jack LaLanne probably had a functioning cock well into his 80s.
Mm-hmm. But so was it nice or what, man?
I remember it being circumcised. That's for
that's
sure.
Okay. Now, how old were you?
I was definitely underage. I was like 17 years old, 16 years old, for sure.
Story keeps getting better.
Shouldn't see dicks at that age. No.
But the weirdest part was, like, a lot of people, when you gave them their locker, you know, just you're a young kid, here's a buck, here's a buck. I would always be like, here you go, Mr. I can't remember the guy's name.
Epstein.
I wish I did. Epstein. Oh, my God. It was Jeff Epstein. It's all coming back. No. Here you go, Mr. Whatever. But he like, no, hold on, I got something for you. And he would go back into his shorts, which are hanging up, and his cock would be swinging around, and he would give me 75 cents.
Ah.
Not nice. Worth the wait.
That's the thing, is I was like, I'm totally cool, even though this is a lot more money back now than it is when I'm telling the story.
Sure.
Even still, I'm good with the 75 cents. I don't need the
what a generous man.
Quite that much, yeah.
Wow, yeah, it's not worth getting hit in the wrist by a wild cock flying around. That's incredible.
Whoa. Watch it there, fella. God.
I didn't see any dicks, but there was always the thing, both in the multiplex and art house world, of like when old people would come out of a movie. If you happened to be like in the lobby or, you know, behind the concession stand or whatever, they'd want to talk to you about the movie.
Of course.
Oh, man.
And man, if there's one thing I got no patience for, it's talking about movies with strangers, especially when it's like a did anybody get it situation or like why did you bother playing this situation? And I'm like,
God,
I really just don't. Okay. Uh-huh. Yep. Oh yeah. Uh-huh. You're totally right. Yeah. No, it was garbage. Like not even going to bother. Just agree with everything. Cause the faster you agree, you can get through all the kvetching and then they'll get out of there. But man, I hated that.
That was the scourge of the ticket ripper. If there's your ticket, because they're doing nothing for the most part. They're just standing there, and the old people just zero in on it. They're like, oh, well, that person can yammer. No, I don't want to. Thank you.
And that's what sucks about the ticket, like, because you're stuck there, right? If you're like an usher, or the concession stand, the projectionist, you're moving all over the place. But ticket person, that's it, man. You got nowhere to go. You're screwed.
You know, speaking of swinging cocks, I got a penis story we could lay on the folks.
Please, let's do
it.
I've mentioned this before, but Stephen just awoken this memory in me, but it was my swinging dick. That's the twist of the story.
Wow, sick.
I was going to the restroom in Grand Central. This was like, I was probably like 20 or 21. It was young enough. But I was legal.
Legal, at least.
Okay, this young enough.
This old businessman rushes to the urinal beside me and is clearly taking a good look. And then he followed me around the station making eyes at me.
Oh, holy shit.
And it was, you know, I was disgusted and flattered a little bit.
Yeah, of course. It's a nice little ego boost, a little spring.
It was good enough for him.
Was it a thing? Was it a thing in the bathroom where, like, you were at a stall and then there were, like, seven empty stalls and he went to yours, like, next to you, like, seven empty urinals, but then
he
moseyed right up to you?
The way he went to mine was, like, he was about to give me head, okay?
Yeah, okay.
Oh, wow. Was he, like, coked out or something?
No, not didn't seem so, no. Huh. He didn't seem drunk either.
He was really cock-hungry, huh?
He was a cock-hungry old guy.
Yeah. And his brain is the only substance he needs.
I mean,
he's good right there.
I don't know what he wanted maybe to get me off. I don't think I could get him off because this guy was like 80 probably or 70 something.
And oh, wow.
Silk and tie, bald, wrinkly.
Singing a song, sonny boy. I'm singing a song. Singing
looking for a companion.
I'm smoking a cock, sonny boy.
Oh, that's that guy not, wanted too.
Not exactly that amorous, I will say, but I do. This did jog loose something. When I worked, there was like a what's called Angie's List kind of ripoff that I worked for about a year and a half, and I did their copy for a while. And I was with the boss for most of the day, and that would mean every once in a while we would go to the bathroom at the same time.
Oh, that's
and
nice.
We were. In the pit, we were next to each other at the pisser, and I'm not kidding you. And right next to me, and every time we'd go in there, he would just start pissing, and then would rip these massive farts.
Oh,
like,
whoa.
And this was a skinny guy, so they were disgusting. Like, they were like big fucking loud ones, and then after it, every time, if this happened at least once a week, he would just look over and be like, where else are you going to do it, right?
Oh, rip man. Another one.
Sure. I appreciate taking it to the bathroom, I guess. Now, Chris, are you saying that skinny farts are worse than fat farts?
When they're loud, yes. I've seen, generally speaking, that the smell is much more danker on those.
Because there's not, like, bigger butt cheeks to, like, collect more of it, you're saying?
Yes, the rips. Mean, obviously.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, there's a silencer, really.
I kind of... Look, here's the thing. Yes, absolutely. If you have to fart in a public place or, like, you know, if you're out at work or whatever, you probably, if you can, go to the bathroom to fart. I would even go so far as go in the stall and close the door and let him rip, big man.
Yeah.
Let him, because that's an appropriate place at the urinal. By yourself, it's fine, but next to someone.
Oh, yeah.
That's tough.
That's for you and me, you know, the working man who's thinking about people. This is a boss man who clearly wanted to ruin someone's day.
Oh,
over.
Speaking
that
of
that, was really what they wanted.
Boss man at the pisser, man. When I was working corporate job, the senior vice president there, he was going to the he was next to me at the pisser, like you're talking about, Chris. And
pisser, how old are we? Did we serve a WW2?
What do you mean? That I had a job.
It's the urinal.
Oh, the urinal. Yes.
Urinals are urinals, but I would like to.
I like pisser. I'm enjoying it.
Well, this is what I like to designate pisser for, though, because Steve, you said old timers. You'll go to those like scuzzy old dive bars where it's like it's not a urinal. It's basically half of a bathtub stuck to a wall. Yeah.
No,
that's a pisser. I would say that's a pisser.
That's me going in the stall. By the way, it's like, all right, so you guys enjoy yourselves. Yeah, I'll see you.
I will. Yeah. I'll never miss an opportunity to piss in half of a bathtub sealed to a wall with fucking ice cubes in it.
Ugh.
But please,
sorry.
No.
You were at the pisser.
I'm at the urinal because I'm a young, vibrant man. I'm nice. At the urinal, and the boss man is there, and he just won't stop talking to me.
Oh, Jesus.
Talking the entire time. He's pissing away, having a grand old time, and I'm like, ooh, you know, I don't want to risk my job by pissing wrong. And then I got nervous about pissing and I couldn't finish right away. It was.
Oh, God.
No, see, no, I don't Eric. Have the problem with the going, but it's funny you say that, dude, because my old boss, who I'm still friends with to this day, he's a great dude, but he was a bathroom talker. And oftentimes, like, we would go to lunch, you know, and he'd be like, oh, I have to go to the bathroom. I'd be like, all right, I'll go to the bathroom too. Just get it over with before we leave the office. And he would just be talking. And it was the kind of bathroom where there was a urinal and then there was a stall and that was it. So I'd always run for that stall. I like to be able to, you know, hang my bag up on the coat rack, all that stuff, coat hook, whatever. And he would just be going, just talking. And I wouldn't have performance anxiety with the pissing. I would have performance anxiety with the responding to what he was saying.
Yeah.
So like he'd be talking and talking and talking. I'd be like, uh-huh. Yeah. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
There are so many places to talk. There's so many places we as a society are allowed to talk.
I want pure silence in that.
I'm telling you guys, it's a power move. It's every time it's a power move just to give you a little bit of uncomfortable.
Probably. It probably is. But you know, Speaking about pissing, I'm sure we'll be going to the bathroom in Los Angeles, California at some point.
That's right.
February 22nd. Coming up fast, guys. We're at the Hollywood Improv talking Broken Arrow from 1996. It's going to be a lot of fun. I know you guys do a Mean Travolta, too.
Yeah.
It's going to be a great show.
I believe there's meet and greet tickets still available.
There was some confusion. All these venues, I guess, just made it preferred seating or VIP. So whenever you see preferred seating or VIP, the more expensive ticket is the meet and greet ticket. You can talk to us afterwards. We'll take pictures. Well, you know, tell me your pissing story.
Please, wash your hands first, by the way, everybody.
Yes. Do not shake my hand without sanitizing it.
Yes. Please and thank you in advance for that.
Yes, but it doesn't stop there. March 20th, we'll be in Minneapolis, Minnesota at the Varsity Theater talking about Conan the Barbarian from 1982 with Arnold Schwarzenegger. And then that Sunday, a few days away, you could double these up. Travel with us. See us at the airport. March 22nd, we'll be in Chicago, Illinois, my hometown, sort of, at the Den Theater talking Big from 1988.
Yes.
This is that movie where Tom Hanks is a little kid. Then he gets big, and then he gets that hanging hammer, and he doesn't know what to do at the bathroom, so the lady helps him.
And he's dancing on the fucking piano with Robert Loggia.
Oh, yeah, dude. Let's play a song together.
You like talking in the bathroom, don't you? Yeah, exactly.
that guy was talking in the bathroom, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Hands on hips, too, I think, one of those guys.
Oh, big power stance.
Yeah, there you go.
Full erection pissing. That's Robert Loggia.
This is also a great, Big has like one of the all-time best movie apartments.
Yes.
I've always loved the apartment. It is decorated by a child, so it's like kind of fun. See also the house in Problem Child 2.
Yes.
Blank Check.
Another cool house. But Big, cool apartment there, and some dubious sexual activity as well.
Absolutely.
Yes, quite a bit.
All right, we're coming up at a quarter to the hour here, so we still got a little bit to go. Chris Cabin, I believe now, this is you?
Big's E-Dog. This is
E-Dog. Eric Siska, yes.
Okay. Have it right here. Let's see.
Oh, that's it.
Oh, no. How to open PDF.
The winner is.
two for number two. Hi, guys. I'm happy to bring you not one, but two caca poo-poo stories. From a movie theater.
Double uh-oh.
I met my future wife working together at a beautiful movie theater years ago in southwestern Pennsylvania.
Hell yeah.
One of these tales of crap comes from her.
Nice.
I hope she signed off on this together.
Yeah. As a couple.
As you probably know, theater ushers were blessed with more cleaning duties than expected, such as vomit spattered birthday rooms. And
we didn't have birthday rooms, thank Christ.
Yep. Oh, boy. Could you imagine that? The smell in there?
No.
And icy spills all over the Daytona USA games.
Okay.
Oh, God.
Car racing arcade game.
The worst being bathroom cleaning. One faithful shift, my wife was cleaning the women's bathroom, spraying the sink down with that suspiciously toxic red cleaning agent.
Mm-hmm.
There was someone using a stall at the time. She paid it no mind until suddenly the stall door slammed open against the wall. My wife spins around to see this middle-aged lady bolt out of the stall and out of the bathroom like a cat on fire.
Oh, shit, wow. Dude.
My wife goes to the stall and looks, expecting drug paraphernalia or a miscarriage or something. Yikes. Holy crow.
Good Lord. Got dark. Yeah,
some days I clean up the... miscarriage, some days I clean up the vomit. Or something similarly upsetting. Instead, she sees what she calls a perfect U-shaped turd. I love how she's appreciating it.
No!
Perfectly rounding the circumference of the toilet seat.
What?
Not a nugget in the actual bowl. And she started to wonder, then burst into laughter. How did this woman arrange her movement so strategically?
Yes! She was icing a cake. How did she do this?
Or did she pick it up and place it?
Might have gloves. Yeah, she might have had the gloves in the purse and just brings them out to make sure it's
You perfectly choreographed fucking animal. That is unbelievable.
My wife's not one for touching turds at $7 an hour. Well, what do you pay her then for your So she ended up having the manager clean it.
That's what they're making the big bucks for.
Yes. Kaka story number two. Eyewitness.
The manager did it. That's shocking. Every job that I've ever had, it was my job. Like, people are always shitting outside of the toilet. I don't know why this is. It happens at every service job I've ever had.
Yeah.
Someone has shit outside, like to the left of the toilet.
So you've been,
I don't understand what
you've cleaned a lot of caca poo poo.
I've cleaned once, and then there was at least when I the second time it happened, there was someone junior to me that I'm like, you got to do that, pal. That's your. That's
I always passed it off, and if I couldn't, I would do the old "there's a garbage bag over it" and then just leave it for the late night cleaning staff, dude.
Oh, God.
I'm not getting paid enough to touch puke, piss, vomit. Just put a bag over it.
Mm-hmm. It's fair.
So story number two.
Put a bag over me, man. Kaka story number two. I witnessed this one. We had this regular at the theater who would call. We would call the Phantom.
Oh, we had one of these. We had one of these.
He was this tall old man who would come in early for his first show, then hang around all day, walking from theater to theater, watching parts of other movies.
Son of a bitch.
It sounds like a great... This is my retirement plan, by the way. The Phantom was extremely slow and had no stealth about theater hopping, so mostly ushers paid him no mind. Who wants to kick an old man, old grampy? Oh my God, people are using it. It's kicking off. I kind of stopped using grampy. I should bring it back.
Yeah,
who wants to kick out an old grampy from Osmosis Jones?
Who knows what lurks in the middle of Osmosis Jones? The Phantom knows.
And just thinking about, like, you're an older man. You only have so much time left. You're spending it in watching half of Osmosis Jones.
Man. Just a really big fan of Chris Rock. I just think he's got some chops.
We called him Phantom because he walked so slow that it looked like he was floating.
Jesus.
Usually smelled like death.
Yeah.
So one day he floats his way into the main lobby bathroom and doesn't leave for a while. Like my wife before me, I was the usher to clean the bathrooms this day.
Oh boy.
I walked into the heavy air that smelled like rotting chicken carcass.
Oh, Jesus, man. Lord.
Man, you guys ever have you smell a dump so bad, you just have to leave? I had to do that at the Newark airport recently. Some old guy was pushing out like this pure musk of a shit. And I just, it was like, you could taste it.
That's always at the airport and at the Lincoln Square men's room.
Oh, God.
Speaking about musk, though, really quickly, we need to... We all, I don't know if, and this is a public service announcement.
Sure.
It's over for Axe body spray. It's been over for a long time.
Agreed.
I went into a public bathroom the other day, and just because some dude happened to be there before, I didn't even see anybody, but I just got knocked. I would rather a nasty shit. I honestly would.
Is that
your
cologne? You take a turn, you're like, tss, tss,
tss. Rub it over my neck.
Oh, yeah.
No,
I agree, Steve. I got rocked by some dude. I was literally just behind a dude on the sidewalk, and I stopped. I crossed the street. It was awful.
It makes my throat hurt to be around it, and that's not what you should have for an enticing scent.
No. Leave a little mystery, you know, like, oh, who is that? Oh, that's, you know, a little something.
So we're in the bathroom. It smells like rotting chicken.
Right.
Nothing on the floors, nothing in the toilets. The smell was coming from the sink.
Oh,
what?
No.
There was about a gallon. There was about a gallon of human-made chocolate mousse clogging the sink.
What?
How are you? You're this old. You got the wherewithal to throw your ass up on the sink?
Maybe it was
a big tall guy. So there you go.
Oh, big tall guy. Yeah.
Maybe
there's also like the they have the lower sinks for like if someone's in a wheelchair.
And that's what it's for, to shit in it. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Actually,
for ambition.
This might be a good life hack. I mean, I like a nice tall toilet.
No, it's not a life hack.
Put it on the bucket list there, Eric.
Maybe. There was about a gallon of... Oh, wait. I already said that. It blew my mind before grossing me out. We closed the bathroom for the rest of the day so a plumber could come unclog and clean the mess.
Oh,
again,
fuck.
$7 an hour. No way in hell was I cleaning it. The internal investigation concluded that the Phantom must be wearing a colostomy bag.
Colostomy bag.
There it is. My doctor's here. and decided to empty it out in the sink. Case closed. I don't think I ever saw the Phantom again after that day, but never forgot that smell. I don't have a follow up question for you guys. You asked for caca, so there you go.
Incredible.
Unfortunately, they ended up closing and tearing down that theater and sold the property for a strip mall where some say the Phantom still haunts the Raising Cane's. Take care and keep hating movies. Blake O from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Thank you.
That's amazing, Blake. Well, that's crazy, Chris. What happened to Blake's theater is the exact same thing that happened to ours.
Oh, is it a Raising Cane's now?
No, it was turned into a strip mall. Also, Raising Cane's is some of the most overrated fucking chicken tenders you can have in your
life. It's crazy. Yeah.
No, thank you.
Movie theaters are just gone now. Like, when I moved to where I am now, there were three theaters within, like, 10 minutes of me. Now there's one.
Well, it's better to have empty apartments, I think, and empty houses, empty buildings, just empty stuff, you know? It's just,
I agree.
It makes me feel good.
We got a uplifting. Look at this, guys, in the chat here. Look at this. Spreading Grampy around.
Ooh. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, sir.
Appreciate that. Hell yeah.
I have started using Grampy more since you started using Eric. Just, it seeped in.
I feel like I've stopped recently because, you know, you do like a comedy routine. You can't do it forever, but.
Yeah, is that right?
Maybe it's time to bring it back and do it forever.
That's the thing, is it transcended from just being a bit to like, it just, that's the word.
It sounds right. You know?
It sounds good.
It does.
It's fun to say.
Yeah.
I do like the idea of an internal investigation, though. Who could have possibly pooped? Could it have been the pooper that went in there? Very obviously, no.
We had a dude at the Art House that we called Poop Ghost because he was an old dude that would go. He would go to like later shows, though, and you would sometimes forget that he was there when you were closing the theater. Like, he would go and just shit and shit and shit. And it was like, it was gnarly. And that dude, he would leave a trail. We called it the ghost because, like, you would smell that dude's shit like long after he was gone. It was rancid, man.
I didn't think about it, but this might be a societal thing because I did have my cousin's best friend, who was her maid of honor. She would not allow her husband to shit in the house.
What?
Like, the house, she was like, it was too small, and he took these massive, horrible shits and like would never be able to. They tried spray. They tried like the air freshener, like the purifier things. They tried everything, and every time the fucking house would just fill with like smelling shit.
Sounds like that guy's got to go to the doctor.
Yeah, and also, and don't get divorced. Honestly, I got to shit in my house, lady. I hate to break it to you. This is
So. What did they do? Did he have to drive to a gas station? Was there an outhouse in the backyard?
Ooh, an outhouse.
Well, he was in the city, so he would go to the Starbucks that was up.
No,
I know. It's so hard to find a bathroom in this city, in any city sometimes, and then the one that's available to someone, the Starbucks, the precious Starbucks bathroom, all Starbucks is good for is the bathroom.
What is
this guy's in there taking his monster shit? I don't think so.
What is a home if not a place where you can hang your hat and take a massive dump?
Yeah.
And just know that you're okay. Know that you're safe.
You're safe. You're warm. Right.
You're loved. Right. There's
a Grampy's not going to talk to you, you know, exactly. All that stuff. You can just take a big old monster dump on in the safety of your own home. Yeah. Who was this, Chris? Who is this? You know,
this is my cousin's her best friend's their marriage. Her cousin's my cousin's best friend's marriage.
But are they divorced now?
They are not. They are together.
I want you to come back with updates for our next mail.
Okay, I'll text her right now.
This guy right now, today, February the 12th, 2026, this guy right now has to shit at a Starbucks still.
Well, I don't know if it's Starbucks still, but that's what he's doing still, yes.
Get divorced. Divorce this woman. This is insane. Yeah, she's the most insane thing.
Could be a long-term sexual game, possibly. You know what I mean?
mistress, can I shit in the house today? No, go to the Starbucks, etc.
Oh,
maybe.
All kinds of things make marriages work, so I didn't want to tread into whatever this was happening. But I heard it and was disgusted and immediately was like, and she suggested, like, the way she said it made it think, like, oh, that's something that, like, her friends do. Like, she was like, oh, yeah, I tell them to get out of the house with it. I'm like, what?
Like a dog. Get out of the house with it like a dog. No.
Yes.
I am so incensed right now. I can't even. Ugh. That is so fucked up.
I am so incensed. I cannot wait to go to Los Angeles Sunday to talk about our big Conan, our big Broken Arrow show. And then just a few short weeks later, we will be in Chicago on the 20th, in Minneapolis on the 20th.
Come on, Steve.
I am beefing this one. Talking Conan the Barbarian. And then on the 22nd of March, we will be in Chicago talking about big.
There we go.
Taking a big old shit in a hotel, which is one of my second favorite thing to
do. Los Angeles, Minneapolis, Chicago, come out, support the show. It's one of the best ways you can support this show. Lets us keep doing this, and I would hate to not do this. So
we love doing this.
All information, whmpodcast.com/tour.
That is right. So thank you all for the letters that were written, either read on the air or not. We didn't get to a bunch, but... that's okay. We'll do another one of these at some point. Sure.
Sure. Just remember, we got a really good amount this time. So, guys, thank you. You guys really did a great job.
Nice.
Keep sending them in for index time.
All right. Mm-hmm. Well, until that mailbag gets opened again, I've been Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
Eric Siska.
Chris Cabin.
Have a good night, y'all. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.